Tonight, just to close it out, I just want to give you a brief challenge from Luke chapter 2, obviously a famous passage of Scripture. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Do I need this, Tom? Do I not need this? Where do I need to go? My mic. I'm on. There I am. Okay, I'm on. So I do not need this. All right, I'm going to put this to the side. Luke 2, and just because of time, I'm going to skip down to verse number 6, the first five verses I was going to read. But it's just there, again, hopefully familiar to you about Mary and Joseph, and they leave. And verse number 6, we'll pick it up there, and it says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Before I pray, I just want to title this, "The Greatest Story Behind the Greatest Song." Let's pray tonight. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice with the young people. Lord, I do pray that they use their talents for you. Lord, it's nothing that we can do as far as in our own ability. Everything comes and belongs to you. I pray that the challenge tonight, the message, would be a help to each one of us this time of year. Lord, bless all that's said and done. In your name we pray. Amen. One of the highlights of this time of year is music. Of course, we come to Christmas time, and obviously the thought is presents, at least maybe amongst the kids. And those maybe that are also enjoy driving around this time of year to seeing lights and, of course, eating, as we heard those kids sing about. I don't know how the dads got on that list of us eating and moms are only the ones cooking. I'm not sure where that ended the song. But I do want to say music adds a lot to Christmas time. Music adds a lot. And just a plug right here for anybody, music adds a lot to any Christian home. Music, if you don't have good Christian music, I challenge you. In fact, I would challenge and say, come find me. I'll help you get some good Christian music in your home. Christian music is so beneficial, so helpful, especially for somebody that is maybe coming from an environment where music is only banging and not understanding the words that are actually being said. And Christian music can be a joy. In fact, I enjoy the classics, of course, and even some of the secular songs, but I really enjoy our Christmas church hymns. Brings a lot of joy. This year in school, I've had the privilege to teach the high schoolers on Friday. And I was really kind of debating which direction to go with, what to teach or what to teach on. And I remembered that our church one year, we had a music as the theme. That was our theme for the year. And I think it was quarterly. It could have been once a month. I don't remember. But either Brother Mick or somebody came up and they read what we were titling "The Story Behind the Song." And they would tell about the author of whatever song that maybe we were singing that day or that night or that we just sang. And so I took it as I got a book, actually, from my mother-in-law, 101 Hymns. And so I've been teaching about different hymns that we sing and then the author behind those songs. And I've enjoyed it. I don't know how much they've enjoyed it, but I really have enjoyed it. And a lot of those that we have read about, many of the writers of the songs have been through some really life-altering circumstances. They've led or they've wrote about those in their songs. So tonight I'd like to just go through the passage that we just read to tell you about that greatest story behind this great song. We see there in verses 13 and 14 that we read, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts
praising God and saying. Now, if you go to some places and you read at different commentaries, they might tell you, well, they didn't say voices like they didn't sing. You know, it was a praising, so it was more of a words. I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I like to sing and I like to praise God. And by way of praising God is me singing. May not be too enjoyable for others, but that's praising God, is a way of singing back to Him. And these fellows were praising God, and they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Even maybe in your Bible you have a parallel passage of Scripture over in Revelation chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. It says over there, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, and all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Sounds like a song that we sing sometimes called the Alleluia Chorus. That comes around this time of year as well. I believe that this passage of Scripture is telling us that there was some singing going on. There was some singing that happened there. And so who is this story about, the greatest song? Who would it be about? Well, I believe there's five letters that will help us better understand the greatest story behind the greatest song. If you would, look in verses 8 through 12 there. We'll start with the letter J, where it's just as it was foretold. Just as it was foretold. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And as we read on, we get to verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. They gave them, and many other passages of Scripture, we'll get to Isaiah in just a moment, Micah, other places of the Scripture, where the prophets foretold what was coming. It was told about this, the greatest story that was ever told. And this story that's the greatest story ever told is unlike any other story. Unlike any of the stories you've ever read in any book or ever song that you ever heard somebody sing. Because it's the greatest there ever is. We find also, I'll turn over to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, but I see that it exceeds all earthly expectations. It exceeds all earthly expectations. We see there in Isaiah, I'm there, I'll read for you. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I love this part. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see in that passage of Scripture an exceeding amount of earthly expectation that there nobody can come close to. Nobody can come close to the Almighty One, the Counselor, the Wonderful. He is all of those things. I also see, I'm trying to hurry, but I also see in this, not just as He, it was it foretold and exceeds all that earthly expectations, but it's a salve for all situations. Ever heard a song or read a book and it helps you right at the time that you needed it? It's just right there. In fact, I recall Sunday hearing preacher preach out of Hosea about the helper, the mender, the fixer that we need in our life. Ever come to church and you just needed something? And you got to church and you got exactly what you needed? That's why church is so important. That's why I don't want to miss. Don't want to miss out on something. But I know that it's a salve as well in all situations. When we were going through these hymns with the young people in high school, we came across maybe possibly one of the greatest hymn writers that we know of was Fanny Crosby. She wrote estimated between 8,000 and 9,000 hymns. It's recorded that over 100 million copies were printed of her hymns. At 6 weeks old, Fanny caught a cold and developed inflammation of the eyes. They used mustard poultice, so a salve of sorts, to put over her eyes. They applied it there to treat some discharge that she had. According to Crosby, this procedure damaged her optic nerves and it blinded her. But God greatly used Fanny to write so many wonderful hymns, like "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," "Blessed Assurance," "Rescue the Perishing," "To God Be the Glory." What if Fanny would have just said, "God, I'm mad at you. I don't want to write any of this." What if that salve wouldn't have been put there? Yet there is still one greater than Fanny Crosby or any other human writer that is out there. I get to the next letter and I see that it's you, an unknown author. Nope, I don't think so. Have you ever read a book, as I said, or heard somebody quote at the end, you see the words of author unknown? You don't know who that author is. Man, or you look at a quote and you think, maybe who wrote that or who said that? Well, I'm here to inform you and tell you that, in fact, we know who this is. This is someone both heaven and earth together, if you will, pulls together. And this author is the greatest of all of them. He's not an unknown author. He's not dead. He's not in the tomb. He's not a piece of wood. He's not some mystical feature. We're going to get to who he is in just a second, but the unknown author. How is that humanly possible? It's not. For us anyway. You see, lastly, you're there in Luke 2. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That last S is a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. Jesus, the greatest gift to the greatest song is Jesus. But I ask you this, you know, surely you've again picked up that book or CD, but I ask you this, my friend tonight, if Jesus is not your life or in your life, then it's time to rewrite your story with him in it. It's time to put Jesus in the greatest story. Some of your stories, or maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a story here tonight that you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You don't know him. He's never become yours. The world has a lot to offer, but it doesn't have a Savior. Doesn't have that one that can take our sin away. You can try. So we heard Sunday, so many people, they look to other things, alcohol, they look to addictions, they look to things. That's just what they are, they're things. It's the who that you might be missing. The greatest story is Jesus. He is the reason for the season. This was about the birth that we read tonight. Yes, 33 and a half or so years. He was on earth. He went to the cross and paid the sin price for mankind. That death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that paid for our sins. But he left us a gift. He left us Jesus. He left us a free gift. We don't have to do anything for it. We don't have to pay. We don't have to, as some places of the world teach, cut ourselves or do things to harm ourselves. We don't have to do that. It's a gift. All we have to do is accept it, receive it. It can become ours, but I can't do it for you. And you can't do it for somebody else. That gift, we get around the Christmas tree or around family this time of year and it has your name on it. You're the one looking to open it, right? Of course, it has your name on it. It's yours. Why not make Jesus a part of this time of year? If you haven't accepted him, it's pretty easy. In fact, he tells us in his word that we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. There's no perfect person. We've told a lie, then we're a sinner. We deserve, and Romans talks about that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. There's no perfect person here. Nobody. We see also that we must recognize that without Jesus, we're destined for a place called hell. We're all destined for that place if we haven't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. You see, he did pay that debt for our sin. That gift in this passage of Scripture, when he was born, his Father in heaven sent him to earth for us to die on a cross. You say to send a gift to die? Yes. It's hard for us to even wrap our mind around. But it was a gift that had to be given because there's no way we could pay on our own. There's no way. I can't be good enough. Our good won't outweigh our bad. How much is good enough? It's never going to be good enough. So we had to have somebody take our place. That was Jesus. So tonight, the question is just this. You're going to rewrite your story, your song. If you're going to do that, you've got to have Jesus. You've got to have him. The young people in chapel yesterday, they sang a song. It goes like this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Then it goes on to serve him. And other parts of the song that we sang yesterday, what were we singing about? Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, it's the greatest gift that you're missing out on this Christmas season. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for the time together. And thank you for the young people that performed tonight. But we come to this time, Father, there might be somebody here that doesn't know 100% sure that they're going to heaven. They don't know you. They don't know about accepting you into their life. They've never had that time and place. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you're sitting in your seat and you feel a tug on your heart. You say, I don't know. By a raise of hand, say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I'm the only one looking. You say, I'm not sure about heaven. I don't know this Jesus that you are talking about, but I'd sure like to. A couple of young hands. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're just here tonight and you'd like to use the altar just because of the fact of you've forgotten about that greatest gift. Maybe you thought about more about the presents than you are about the one who given you or gave you those presents. It's Jesus. I'm so glad that I got saved. I'm so glad that I know Jesus. So with our heads bound and eyes closed, if you'll stand to your feet when the piano plays, if you'd like to use the altar is open.